Hi, this is Gary Washburn, pastor of Grace Tabernacle. Thank you for tuning to our podcast today. Our hope is that this message inspires you and builds your faith. For more information about Grace Tabernacle and our ministries, please go to gracetab.org and like us on Facebook. Now, may the message feed your soul.
Happy August 1st, everybody. You're not as excited about it as I am. Take your Bible, go to Isaiah chapter 54, and say these words as you're going there. It is finished. Now say it this time like you really believe it's true. It is finished. And boy, if you really get a revelation of that, that is going to cut the devil off at the head. It'll cut his head off. And you won't have to hear his mouth running anymore because you'll cut his head off. Today we're in part two of this series, It Is Finished. And today the Lord wants to do one thing that I am so confident of. I've got courage and confidence and boldness like never before. And that's why I'm chomping at the bit. You've got to get this. I urge you, take a few notes. You're going to hear a couple of things you need to go back to certain scriptures. You need to think about it again. You need to meditate on it. You need to pray about it. You can't remember everything, so take a few notes. Today's message is entitled Established in Righteousness. Established in Righteousness. The word established means something is fixed. This church was established 18 years ago. And there were some people that said it won't last 6 months. Well, they were wrong. Because God established it. When God establishes something, it will stand the test of time. Amen. His word is established. God himself is established. That's why he is faithful when we're not faithful. We trust him when we can't trust ourselves or trust anybody else. God is established. His word is established. We know it's true. It's established. So when a business is established, it's been there for a while. It's settled. When a doctor or somebody is established doctor, they've been proven. They've been there for a long time. You know they're credible. So God wants you and me to get established in one thing today. What is it? Before you leave here today, you can get established in righteousness, and I'm telling you, you're going to cut the head off of the enemy, and all this junk he's been after you and oppressing you about lately will cease because you finally got established in righteousness. Back in the Old Testament, a man by the name of Isaiah was a prophet of God. He had a word from the Lord to the king of Judah at that time. At that particular time, the king of Judah and all of God's people were being oppressed by enemies. In fact, there were three large armies that came up against the kingdom of Judah, ready to just absolutely destroy it. And the king was afraid, like anybody would be. And he started thinking, you know, what can we do to get some help? Who can we hire to help us fight these enemies? And the Lord gave Isaiah a word, a prophetic word, to go give to the king. And the word was basically this: King, do not fear these oppressors of yours, for the Lord is with you. His name is Emmanuel. The Lord is with you. And with that one prophetic word from God to the king was both supposed to go out and be fearless in facing armies that were stronger than him. He was supposed to be able to overcome the oppression. And the Lord gave this word to him, and then he gives this word to us as well. And speaking about Emmanuel, in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 9, just look at it on the screen. And the warning is in this word is implanted for us. It's a warning about you better believe when God tells you something. Amen. And if you will not believe what God has established, what God has said over you, then you won't be established. And the devil will be able to come in and rule and reign and create terrible havoc in your life simply because you did not believe the word of the Lord, and therefore you're not established. You'll shake like a leaf. You'll fall like a sandcastle. You'll fall apart like a $2 suitcase. You will not be able to. So believing in God, when God tells you something, is so important. He's giving you this because He knows your future. He knows that you need to have this word, hold on to this word, look at this word, chew on this word, put it in your eyes, put it in your ears, put it in your heart, speak it out of your mouth when the enemy comes, so that you'll be established. But the word of the Lord says, if you will not believe, you, I don't care how much money you have in the bank, how strong you are physically, what your DNA is, or what you know and who you know, and all of that, you will not be established. So when God says something, you better say that's the first and final word of the matter. I don't care what else happens. I don't care what anybody else says. When God gives a word, that's it. I believe it. And I'm established in it. And I don't care what hell comes against me. I'll not move from that word. Amen. If you don't believe, you won't be established. Throughout Scripture in the Old Testament, God revealed Himself and what He wanted to be to His people, and by revealing some compound names of Himself, of what He's really like. And most of the times when God gave a revelation of what He's really like to His people, they were in a crisis. They were in trouble. They were in over their head. And God would come into the situation and reveal Himself in such a way, He's saying, this is who I really am. This is who I want to be to you if you will believe. And He would reveal what is known as a compound name of the Lord. The word Jehovah or Lord simply means the covenant-keeping God. That when God says something, when God promises something, it is a covenant. He keeps His word. You can believe Him. And so when God has revealed, He's revealed, I'm going to give you eight this morning, just simply eight compound names that God has made known to His people. He says, this is what I want to be to you if you'll believe, and then you'll get established. He says in Jeremiah, through the prophet, that His name is Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord who is our righteousness. The Lord is our righteousness. We're not the righteous. The Lord Himself wants to be your righteousness for you. And He who knew no sin, Jesus, became sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God. God doesn't want you to go to church, read the Bible, and pray, and do all these things so that you can become righteousness. He wants you to understand that He is your righteousness, and you're to believe Him, and you receive His righteousness, not create a righteousness of your own by trying to be religious. Are you understanding? The Lord is our righteousness. Today we're going to get established in that one. Another place in Exodus 31, the Lord revealed His name as Jehovah Mekedeshkim. And that is the Lord who is our sanctification. He's not only our righteousness, but He's the one that makes us holy. He's the one that makes us into a priest, into a kingdom. We don't do it ourselves. He does it Himself for us. He sanctifies us, sets us apart unto Himself, different from everybody else in the world, unless they're born again. Are you understanding? The Lord also has established, even in the old covenant, that the Lord is present with us. He's established that. I'm with you. I never leave you nor forsake you. That's the new covenant. Sometimes it doesn't look like the Lord is here. You can't see him. He's invisible. But the Lord has declared and made known to us. He's a God of covenant. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. He never rejects you. Though you may feel like you're being rejected, though the enemy may think you that God has abandoned you, those are lies that you have to throw away, because you know the truth is God wants you to be established in this covenant that he's with you. He'll never leave you. The Lord is our peace, Jehovah Shalom. He's revealed his name. I am the God of peace. I will give you supernatural peace that passes all understanding. That's part of the covenant. That's who he is. He wants to be your peace today if you'll let him, if you'll believe. The Lord's our provider. We heard Bruce a few weeks ago preach an incredible message about the covenant and about Abraham and Isaac and God's provision. God made his provision known. I have provided for you. I'm the one who provides these things for you. You don't come up with them yourself. He's a God of provision. He's the Lord, our healer. God revealed that to Israel back in Exodus 15. I'm your healer. It's not your physicians. It's not your medicine and all those things. God may use those things, but I'm your healer. Look to me. And then he made it clear that I'm the Lord, your banner of victory. I am your victory. I win the battles. The battle belongs to the Lord, not to you. I win the victory, and then I make it look like you're the victor. Hey, I share my victory with you. I make you look good, like you won the victory. But the truth is, I won the victory. And then finally, the Lord is our shepherd. I am the one who will lead you. You don't know the way you should go. You'll make a mistake. You'll make a wrong decision. You'll discern things that are not true. And I want to be the one to lead you, because you need me to lead you. You're a sheep. I'm a shepherd. Let me lead you. That was just 8 different ways that God says, this is who I want to be to you. Will you let me? Will you let me? Will you let me be these things to you? And your part is to say, yes, Lord, I believe you. And just receive by faith. Now we go from there and we begin to understand that this is what God wants to be to us. And he says something is so important, that you believe me and who I am and who I want to be for you in your life, that if you don't let me be these things in you, for the enemy then will come in and kill, rob, and destroy in all these various areas of your life. And one particular area we're dealing with today is that God wants his people of the new covenant to be established in righteousness. Isaiah 54, verse 14, God says, in righteousness shalt thou be established, and then thou shalt be far from oppression. I want you established, fixed upon righteousness, that I am your righteousness. And my righteousness is a gift I give to you when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That Jesus took all your sin and all your judgment on the cross. You can't add anything to that to make you righteous. And as a result of him taking all the judgment and all the sin that you had in your life, I, in result, when you believe on him, I give you the gift of righteousness. I declare you righteous. I declare you holy. I declare you're sanctified. I declare you have peace. I declare you have my presence with you. I declare these things. But if you won't believe, you won't be established. Your part, believe. In righteousness, you'll be established. So in the new covenant, when we go and we partake of communion and we take that wafer, we should visualize in our minds that the Lord is giving us this from his own hand, this piece of bread. And he says, this is my body given for you. Then he says, now take the cup, and you visualize in your mind the Lord giving you the cup. You're interacting with him. And he says, now, Gary, this is the new covenant in my blood. I have done this. You are in covenant with me. a blood covenant that cannot be broken. You had nothing to do with this covenant. It's not dependent upon your ability like the old covenant. This covenant was dependent upon me and simply you believing. And if you believe, Gary, you will be established. That's why we, every time we come in here Sunday, we go take communion. We remind ourselves, I'm in a blood covenant that can't be broken. Nothing changes in the blood covenant. If I believe and I believe, then I'm established in righteous. I am righteous all the time, even when I fall, even when I sin, even when I fail, even when I make mistakes. I am still the righteousness of God because this covenant is not based on me or my performance. It's based upon the blood of Jesus. I'm in covenant with God, a blood covenant. I believe. That's my part. And if you believe, you're established. So when hell comes against you and the devil oppresses you and he whispers lies to you and he points to all the things you've done and tells you you're condemned, you're judged, you remind him of the blood of Jesus. No, I'm in covenant. A covenant that can't be broken. This is one that cannot be broken because I didn't have anything to do with it. It's all the blood of Jesus. Not his blood and my blood. It's his blood. And I'm established. You don't understand. I am established. This is never going to change. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus 24/7. It'll never, ever, ever change. God, that's just too good to be true. But it's true. Takes all the pressure off of you. Your part, believe. And if you believe, you'll be established. But if you don't believe, you won't be. So this new covenant, established by Jesus, God wants us to change our mind. Great message that Barbara preached a couple weeks ago about repentance. Repentance simply means to change your way of thinking. To think like God. And God tells us, now this is your part after you receive the new covenant. Now you've got to do this part so you'll be established. You've got to change the way you think. No more sin consciousness. You're righteous, even when you don't feel like it. Even when you mess up. Because this covenant is based on the blood that can't be washed away by man's disobedience. It was one man's obedience that won it all for us. Not his obedience and my obedience. It was his obedience. That's how I got saved. In righteousness you'll be established. Look at Hebrews chapter 10 verse 22. Talking about this new covenant. God says now, because this new covenant is established in my son's blood, let us draw near with a true heart. Full of what? That was really weak. Full of what? Assurance. Not my self-confidence, my God confidence. Is my God faithful? Is my God trustworthy? Is his word true? Can I trust him? My heart is to have assurance of confidence in God and our hearts sprinkled to be cleansed from an evil sin conscience. Last week I pointed out to you the warfare that you're dealing with in your life is the devil just simply trying to get in your mind to get your focus off of Jesus' perfect obedience and onto your disobedience. And if the devil can get your mind focused on how bad you've done this week, then you're not going to feel like celebrating. You're not going to feel any victory. You're not going to feel like you want to do anything for the Lord. You're going to be trying to do penance for a while. Well, I'll just feel bad for a while. I'll try to do some good works and make up for it. Maybe about a week or two, if I'm faithful enough, then God, I'll feel worthy again. I'll start praising God again. God says your conscience, your mind. Conscience is two words. Science, which means knowledge, and con means with. Your conscience has knowledge, but your knowledge has to be changed now that you're in a new covenant. You've got to cleanse this conscience, this knowledge in your mind, to understand that God does not want you to be focusing on sin. He wants you to be focusing on the Savior. He doesn't want you focusing on self. He wants you focusing on Jesus. And you look to Him in His perfect obedience and know that your righteousness with God does not change because of your performance or lack of. It's all what Jesus did. It's all what He did, not what I do. The old covenant was what based upon what, if you can keep my commandments, then I'll bless you. But the new covenant is not based upon man at all. It's based upon what Jesus did. And that's why Jesus said on the cross, some of His last words, "It is." And if you believe that, if you really believe it, then you'll stop playing religion and doing penance and playing a pity party and feeling bad. You'll start living in the victory that Christ has given you. Now let's look at this right here. God says, okay, now that you're saved and you're born again and you are declared righteous, you are mine, don't think the enemy is going to take a back seat. Isaiah 54, 16. The scripture says this. God's saying to His people, look, indeed, they are going to assail you. The enemy is going to assail you. He's going to attack you fiercely. Anybody been under the attack of the enemy lately? Been under oppression from the of your mind and your thoughts and all that? Listen, if you're doing anything for the Lord, that's quite normal. It's always there. The Apostle Paul had it every town he went to. And he said, God, how come every time I go out to do your will, I get thrown in jail, I get rejection from people, I get oppression, I get tortured, I get beat up, I get run out of town. Lord, can you stop this? And God says, no. No. My grace will be sufficient for you, though. So just because you get saved, don't think that, well, the devil's going to leave you alone now. No, now he's going to mess with you. And fiercely. But God is saying, don't be lied to by the enemy and think it's from me, because it ain't coming from me.
That's right.
I created the blacksmith that blows the coals into fire, who brings forth an instrument for his work. In the same way, God is saying, I use the devil and all of his oppression and attacks against you to make you come out of the fire stronger and make you an instrument that can whip the fire out of the devil. Can you understand? I'll make you tougher by going through this. I'm not wasting trouble in your life. I'm using it for your good. And God wants to do that. He wants you to see it's true. All things work together for good for them that love God. It's really true. It's really true. And you get out of that funk and that depression right now if you really believe that. And the problem is you don't really believe, and therefore you're not established in His righteousness. You think you got to earn something. You got to do something. You got to fast more. You got to pray more. You got to do more. You ain't established. You ain't established. You're living under the law of sin and death. The law of sin and death was that old law when that man, if you did right, God bless you. But when you stepped out of line in sin, guess what? God wouldn't bless you. In fact, His presence would leave you.
That's right.
God would leave and come back. Leave and come back. David wrote about it. Don't take your Holy Spirit from me. David sinned. He knew that when he sinned, it's like the presence of the Lord left him. His anointing left. It's not that way anymore, ladies and gentlemen. We're in a new covenant. We're established. You got to change the way you think. You're thinking Old Testament. You're thinking Old Covenant. This has got to change. You got to get rid of this evil sin consciousness and focus on the victory consciousness of Jesus. You get established. And so God is saying, look, you're going to have attack, and the enemy certainly is going to assail you. But no, it's not from me. Yes, I could stop him. But if I choose not to stop him, then trust me, you're going to come out better and stronger and meaner in warfare than you were before. Can you trust him? And so God goes on to say in James chapter 4, verse 7, something I know needs to be said here today to everybody. This is New Testament. God is telling us, okay, how do we live? We first got to make sure we submit ourselves to God. Lord, I am yours, lock, stock, and barrel. You can do with me whatever you want to do. I'll live as long as you want me to live. I'll do whatever you want me to do. I'm under your orders, under your assignment. I submit my whole life to you. My marriage to you, my kids to you, my finances to you. You can do with it what you want. I put it under your lordship. Now, what do you do? Resist the devil, because he's coming. He's coming. Your part is resist. Resist. George, come up here real quick. Grab hold of me, brother. Grab hold of me. He's coming.
Come on.
Grab a hold of me, man. Come on.
You're getting stronger.
I am stronger.
You're getting stronger.
I'm resisting. I'm not just doing this. Grab a hold of me, brother. Don't be afraid of me. Grab hold of me. Take me prisoner. Take me. I got an arm. You better watch out. Grab me. Do something. Okay, I'm not resisting.
Thank you.
Oh, Mr. Devil, please don't hurt me anymore. Oh, Mr. Devil, please stop. I'll go your way for a while, Mr. Devil, if you'll leave me alone. Will you leave me alone for a while if I go your way? Will you? Will you? But when I go, when I resist, which is a fight, he's limited. Now I can start resisting him with my thoughts, because now he doesn't come at me physically. He just talks to me.
Yes.
He's talking to me. I'm going to get you. I'm going to whip you. You're going to go right back into bondage. I'm going to do it. And I resist him. Shut up. Shut up. Be silent. Sit down and shut up. Devil, I bind you in Jesus' name. Is this real or is it just drama?
It's real.
God said, submit yourself to him. Then you have the power, his victory. You have his strength. You have his armor. You have his word. You have his authority to say, devil, shut up. I resist you. And some of you are in such warfare, you need to say that out loud. Out loud. And anybody around you who's not a believer is going to think, "Ooh, boy, they're crazy." But when you're in serious, desperate situation in warfare, you don't care what people think anymore. You'll say it. Devil, I resist you. Jesus spoke out loud to the devil that he couldn't see. You think you got to do anything any less? It's time that you man up and woman up as a man and woman of God and stand up to the devil by submitting yourself to God and start resisting the devil. I can't do that for you. We can't do that for you. The elders can't do that for you. You got your part. God gave you specific instructions. He said, submit yourself to God. You resist the devil. And God says he'll flee. I guarantee you. I've already written a script. God said he'll flee. Believe me. If you submit yourself to God and resist, he'll flee.
That's right.
How many of you know that's true?
Hallelujah. Yes, we do.
A little while ago, I woke up one day and I started writing in my journal. In the morning, I said, Lord, I'm starting to feel a little overwhelmed right now. And I waited for the Lord to maybe give me a counsel, maybe give me a comforting scripture. And you know what the Spirit of the Lord said to me? He said, resist it. That's right, bro. He said, resist it. He didn't say, oh, I'm so sorry. Come here, son. Come be all right, little baby. I'll take care of you. No, he said, resist it. Resist. That's all he said. So what did I start doing? I am not overwhelmed. I ain't going to confess that. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I am not overwhelmed. For God's for me, who can be against me? And I resist that. Some of you need to do the same thing, I'm telling you. You're getting beat up, whipped by the enemy, simply because you're not standing up to him, knowing that your standing up to the devil does not require you to have everything in perfect order in your life. And so the devil gets you to look at yourself and your lack of performance, your bad behavior, and you focus on that, and you could develop a sin consciousness, and then you don't feel, I'm not strong enough to resist the devil. And you just made an agreement with the enemy. Because he said, I've been telling you you're not strong enough, and now you finally agree with me. And then you got to get everybody in the world to pray for you. There was nothing wrong with that. But you need to walk away from that, realizing you can do that on your own. We got to toughen up. If the days ahead are going to be darker and meaner and more difficult and more demons and all this kind of stuff, we got to toughen up now. If you can't deal with this little piddly stuff now, how are you going to be able to run with the horsemen? And then God makes it real clear. He said, no weapon. Not any. Not COVID. Not sickness. Not poverty. Not your family history. Not your DNA. Not the addiction you've had in your flesh. There is no weapon. Everybody say no weapon. This is God speaking to you. He's trying to give you edification. He's trying to get you built up and trusting Him. He's trying to get you to understand this is not based on you. This is based on what I said. This is based on my work. This is a new covenant. There is no weapon ever in the universe that's ever going to be formed against you that'll ever prosper. About three people believe that. Yeah. And when tongues rise up to condemn you, speak evil of you, God says, now, you know what? I want you to stand up and condemn that. Use your mouth. And you say, I don't receive that. That's not from God. That's not the report of the Lord. It may be the report of man, but it's not the report of the Lord. I do not receive that. I judge that. I condemn. That's not from God. Let it fall to the ground. You're to do that. You. God says, this is the heritage. This is what I've given you. This is what you're called to do while you're here on planet Earth. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and they're vindications of me. You're vindicated. When God looks at you, He says, you're righteous. The devil looks at you and says, no, you're condemned. I know what you did last night. And God says, no, He's righteous. All judgment and condemnation is taken off of us in the new covenant. And it was placed on Jesus. Now hang on, it's going to get a lot better. Woo, hang on. Isaiah 54:10. This is all in Isaiah 54. Look at this. God says, the mountains may depart, the hills may be removed, but my kindness, my grace, my loving kindness will never depart from you. Ever. And neither shall the covenant of my peace. What covenant was that? Was that the old covenant? Only if you obeyed. God's covenant of peace came with the Prince of Peace, Jesus. In the new covenant. And this covenant of peace will never be removed, saith the Lord. He has mercy on you. Why? Because the mercy seat, remember last week? The mercy seat was the tomb of Jesus with the two angel, cherubim, the real mercy seat. The Ark of the Covenant was just a picture, a shadow, a type of the real. Jesus is the real mercy seat. Now God says, okay, because these things are true, here's one thing you're going to have to get established, and it's this. In Ephesians 4:24, you're going to have to renew your mind. And notice what God says specifically to you about renewing your mind. He says, be renewed. That's your part. Now, change your way of thinking to think like I think. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind that you may put on the new nature, which is born. When you're born again, you have the nature of God. You don't have the sin nature anymore. Which was created according to God in what? Righteousness and true holiness. God said, be renewed in your mind. This is what you really have. And it may not feel that way. It may not look that way sometimes. But this is where you really are. You have true righteousness and holiness right now. Now, renew your mind to agree with me and believe that, even though it doesn't feel like it. You've got to quit living by your physical senses, how you feel. How you feel has nothing to do with your reality and your true identity. So he says you're going to have to renew your mind to start thinking like I think. And under the blood of my son, Jesus, you are made true righteousness and true holiness. You'll never get more righteous. You'll never get more holy than you are with the blood of Jesus upon you. You can't increase that. It's perfect because his obedience was perfect. Now we're getting ready to fly somewhere very high. Jesus, when he was on earth, was headed to Jerusalem, knowing ahead of time that he was going to lay down his life for us. He knew that was the plan of God. He was going to die for the sins of the whole world one time, because one time was enough. And so Jesus was headed to Jerusalem. And while he was headed to Jerusalem, in John chapter 12, verse 28, look what happened. Jesus was with his disciples, and he says in John 12, 28, 29, Father, glorify thy name. And then came a voice from heaven saying, I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. And the people that stood by, they heard the voice of God. And some of them said, That was thunder. Some of you over here crazy, you thought you heard the voice of God, but no, that was just thunder. Even though it's a clear day, that was just thunder. And others said, no, we actually heard a voice. Maybe it was an angel speaking to him. I want to tell you how important it is to have your heart right with God. When your heart is not right with God, you will not hear things that people whose heart is right with God do hear. When you are a spiritual man or woman of God and you're in tune with God and fellowship with God and listening to God, Charlie, you hear things that other people don't hear. And you see things other people just don't see it that way, because you're spiritual. You're in sync with God. And here's people that heard the audible voice of God. And some of them said, no, that was just thunder. You mean you could hear the audible voice of God and mistake it? You mean that God could talk to you and you not really recognize it's God? Apparently it happened. And then Jesus went on to say in the next verses, verse 31 and following, he said, now judgment is upon the world. No, let me back up in verse 31. Jesus said, This voice came not for me, but for your sakes. So God let his voice become audible for the sakes of the people there who could hear him, but many did not recognize the voice of God. What I'm saying to you today is this: many times in your week, God is speaking to you, but you don't hear it. All you hear is thunder. And God's talking to you. Jesus said the voice wasn't for me. I didn't need to have that affirmation. It was for your sake. And then he said, now judgment, everybody say judgment, is upon this world. You got to see, they were still under the old covenant. Even in the time of Jesus, the transition. Still under the old covenant. Jesus said, judgment is upon this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. That's a sure thing. Amen. And I, Jesus, if I be lifted up, I will draw all. Now look in your Bible, there are different translations, but if your Bible has men in that, it's in italics, meaning it's not in the original language. The word men is not in the original language. The translators put it in thinking that it would help us understand, but it's not in the original. Anytime a word's in italics, and in italics, it's there. I will draw all men unto me. This word, he said, signifying what? Death. He should die. He's talking about judgment. He's talking about him dying. Now, I used to read that scripture as saying, if I lift up Jesus, God is going to draw all men to me so I can grow a big church. Wrong, wrong, and double wrong. Well, if we just lift up Jesus, God will bless us and help us and prosper us. If you would just preach Jesus and lift up Jesus, God would fill this auditorium or sanctuary. Well, that's not what Jesus is talking about. Now let's put in the context of judgment and death, what Jesus is talking about. Let's put it in the scripture and read it the right way. Now Jesus says, now judgment is upon this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. And if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all judgment unto me. I will draw all sin unto me. I'll draw all your condemnation unto me. I'll get it off of you. It's not on you. It's on me. I get all that condemnation and guilt and shame that you've been carrying around. I take it off of you, because if I'm lifted up on the cross once and for all, I die for the sins of the world once and for all, then I will draw all judgment, all condemnation, everything. It'll come up here and it'll be upon me on the cross. That's where your judgment is. That's where your condemnation is. That's where your guilt and your shame belong. That's where your disobedience is. That's where all the sin of the whole world is. It's not on me. He who knew no sin. God delivered him up for us all. He who knew no sin became sin. He became sin. All my judgment, all my condemnation on him. And I walk away free. I walk away righteous. I walk away sanctified. I walk away holy, undeserved grace. I walk away with favor. I walk away with blessing. And I'm humbled. Oh God, I know I'm not worthy, but you are worthy. And I sing His praises because He is worthy. I realize what He's done. His death took my judgment so that we could be established in His righteousness forever. Forever and ever. Amen. And that's why Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount said, look, you've been going around, He's talking to His people, the Israelites, He's been saying, you've been trying to establish a righteousness of your own. You have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. You've been trying to be religious. You created all these rituals and all these things, and you're trying to establish your own righteousness, but don't do that anymore. Seek first the kingdom of God and His, God's righteousness, not your righteousness. And some of you today, you go to church religiously trying to establish your own righteousness, trying to be righteous. And God told you a long time ago, seek the kingdom of God, the rule of God, the reign of God in your life, and His righteousness, not my righteousness. And it goes back to Christianity 101, I guess. We got to understand. You know how easy it is to be saved? I mean, the payment's already paid. What does it take for someone to be saved and go to and have eternal life? It's so simple. You're given simple and believe, receive. Yeah, yeah. Ephesians 2:8-9, by grace. Unmerited favor, the grace of God, God providing something you don't deserve. By grace are you saved through your faith that grabs hold of God's grace, I believe. And not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. Well, how's a person healed? By grace are you healed. Through faith. It's not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. How do you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit? By grace do you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the gift of speaking in tongues. It's not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should be able to boast. Well, I achieved this. Everything by grace. And if you don't get established in God's righteousness, you'll get back into works. And that's what the whole book of Hebrews is about and book of Galatians is about. Believers who believed in the Lord Jesus as Messiah and received Him, but then they slipped back into legalism. They slipped back into working instead of resting in the finished work. When Jesus said, it is finished, He meant it. And the church is still yet to agree with Him. We need to agree, yes, sir, it's finished. I'm saved by grace. I'm healed by grace. I'm delivered by grace. I'm provided for by grace. I have peace by grace. I have victory by Your grace. And some of you are staring at me like, man, I ain't never heard this before. Read your Bible. It's right there. It's right there. Right in front of you. And today God wants me to come and just spread this table out before you and go, look at the banquet of the Lord. So you've got to quit playing the victim. I was telling somebody this week that, oh, I better not do that. Woo! My wife's saying behave. Thank you. Thank you. You got to quit being the victim, playing the part of the victim, focusing on yourself, how poor you are, how bad you are, how sick you are, how whatever you are. You got to quit playing the victim and start declaring the victory. Get your eyes off of you and start declaring His victory. And the victory will manifest in time. Sometimes it is a battle. It's the fight of good fight of faith, staying in faith. when things don't look like they're working, we know He's still working. We know all things will work together for good. Maybe not right now, this moment, it is working together, but it doesn't look like it. But eventually, it will look like it. Eventually, you'll walk in the manifestation of divine health. In just a little while, you'll start walking in the joy of the Lord. Because God has not changed His view about you.
Amen.
He is madly in love with you. One scripture, well, let me land this plane here. Let me ask you a diagnostic question that I ask people when they come in my office when I don't know where they are spiritually. I ask them this question. If you were to die today and stand before God, God is going to judge you today. And He said to you, "Why should I let you come into my heaven?" What would your answer be? And their answer is usually very revealing. If immediately they don't go to Jesus and say, "Because Jesus died in my place, because I received Jesus as my Lord and Savior." Instead of that, they often sometimes will go, "Well, because I believe in God and I'm trying real hard," or "I believe in God and I do this and I do that," and start pointing to themselves rather than pointing to the Savior. Even a mixture shows they're not free. The only answer is, "Because Jesus died in my place and I received the gift of righteousness by faith. I don't deserve it. He did it for me. Jesus paid it all. Now you're saved by grace." Anything less than that, then it's a mixture. You can't mix grace and works. The blood of Jesus is enough or it isn't. And you say with such a confidence and a boldness, "It is finished. It is finished. Jesus did it all." It's that diagnostic question I present to you today, because there may be somebody here today who didn't realize that. They need to get that answer clear, established in their mind. God wants you to get established in His righteousness. It's finished, ladies and gentlemen. It's too good to be true, but it's true. Too good to be true. Now, you still have to resist the devil.
That's right.
But he's easy to resist once you submit yourself to God. I feel like the band, would you come on back up? I think we're going to do a song here at the end. And I had this in my mind earlier in the week. I see the Lord doing what He says He wants to do in Zephaniah 3:17. You don't need to look it up. Zephaniah 3:17. God says this, "I will quiet you with my love. I will quiet you. I'll quiet you with my love." And I see in my mind's eye a picture of people who are being tormented in their mind by the devil. It's like the devil knows you're not established in righteousness, the righteousness of Christ, yet. Therefore, he can play mind games with you, and he torments your mind with guilt, shame, condemnation, judgment, anytime you mess up or something from the past, and it torments your mind. And the devil's like playing ping pong with your mind and having a heyday. One moment you feel you're right with God, next moment, boy, you feel like you're not. And I see the Lord in my mind's eye with this song we're about to sing and with Zephaniah 3:17, as if the Lord's saying, "Child, come to me. Come to me." Now, George, come up here as a child of God. Let me represent Jesus. And the Lord says, "Son, relax. It's finished."
Yes.
No, I mean, it's finished. You don't know how much I love you. There's nothing you could do to ever stop me from loving you. You have yet to have the revelation of my love for you. Yes, the enemy assails you. Yes, the enemy comes at you. That's because you're my beloved. My love is all you need. You don't need to hear anybody else affirm you. I affirm you. You are mine. You are my beloved. I love you. I'll never leave you, nor will I forsake you. So silence these voices. Step up to the plate. Use my authority. Conquer the enemy. Tell him enough is enough. Tell him to shut up. Be silent. Today I quiet you with my love upon you. You're my child, and I love you. Amen. I mean, something like, I see God doing that with everybody. Yes. Your mind, you can't even sleep at night. When you try to go to sleep, all these bombarding thoughts come to you from the enemy. And then you try to, in unhealthy ways, cope just so you can get some ease, just so you can just get your mind off of all this torment. Guilt of the past, shame, all the things that the Lord has forgiven. God says, I want to quiet you with my love. And in this song, I hear the Lord singing. There's a phrase, it'll come to it in a moment, where I can see we're before the Lord and He comes up to us and lays His hands on us and He simply says, child, I love you.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
My child, I love you. How I love you. You're free. You're healed. You're helped. I love you. I love you. You have nothing to fear. You're mine. Child, I love you. Child, I love you. I love you. I love you, Jolene. I love you. That's what He says to every one of us. And the person here saying, boy, I wish the pastor would come up to me and say that or give me a prophetic word. Then here it is. Child, I love you. It's a blanket. It's more than you can ever get. Oh, He loves you. You don't know how special you are. You still don't know. Why would you let anything ever bother, torment your mind again if you heard the Lord Himself appear to you in the flesh and say, I got you, John and Janet. Don't worry about the future. I love you. That's all you need to hear. If I know He loves me, He'll never leave me nor forsake me. What else do you need? So I declare this altar is going to be a healing spot this morning. And everybody who comes up here, stands or kneels before the Lord, God, I pray that they'll feel a tangible presence. If I lay hands on them, fine, or somebody else, that's fine. But I pray they feel the tangible presence of the Lord touching their mind and saying these words, child, I love you. Let's sing it. Let's do it. Praise God. Let's just stand together. Altar workers, if you want to come up and kind of stand to the sides, both sides, and give people plenty of room here in the front. If they want to kneel or just want to be with the Lord for a few moments, come, let the Lord minister to you through these words, through this song. I see the Lord saying, I want to quiet you with my love. I'm going to sing a song over you. Songs of deliverance. Songs of healing. Songs of my love for you. Praise God. Praise God. Can you turn it up, please? Come. I will come while you sing over me. Let God sing over you. Come. Come on. Come on, you need freedom? Come. 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 You feel undone. You hear Him calling you. God says, come to me. Let God sing over you His love. Listen to what the Lord says. Listen to what He says. These words. Says about you.
Child, I love you, how I love you. Child, I love you, how I love you. How I love you.
He loves you more than you know.
When this life is over.
You turn up the voice part, please.
The race is
sing over you. Let him minister to you. Let him minister to you. Let him quiet you with his love. Calm your mind. One-to-one with God.
While you sing over me.
Let him sing over you.
When the night surrounds me, all my dreams undone, I can hear you
Now may you walk with a confidence like you've never known before. May you walk with courage as you face this week. You bring the music down, please. Can you bring the music down? There you go. Walk with confidence and walk with courage this week, that God sings over you. He quiets you with His love. There's nothing you can do that'll ever stop His incredible love for you. You wake up in the morning, you're not feeling good or feeling a little down, just shake that off, resist it, and declare that God's love for you is constant. It never changes. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Now bow your heads. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord countenance upon you and give you His supernatural peace that will not dissipate, in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. 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 God.